I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. That band from East L.A. is with us, Los Lobos. They're talking about their new CD, how they've stayed together for 30 years, and a little politics. But first, we want to talk about that ongoing story of radio talk show host Laura Schlesinger's rant, apology, and her decision, she says, to end her radio show. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin sent Dr. Laura Schlesinger words of encouragement Wednesday, telling her via Twitter to, quote, "don't retreat, reload." It all started when Schlesinger, who has a doctorate in physiology and thus calls herself Dr. Laura on the air, repeatedly used the N-word while on the air with a caller. The caller, you may remember, was an African-American woman who is interracially married. She'd called her for advice about how to deal with friends of her husband's who she said made comments that she considered racist. This is how Dr. Laura responded, and I have to let you know that this next clip involves the repeated use of the N-word. We are not going to bleep it, so please be advised.
I can't believe someone like you is on the radio spewing out the nigger word, and I hope everybody
I didn't
heard it.
Spew out the
you
nigger
said,
word.
Nigger, nigger, nigger.
Every, right. I said, that's what you hear.
Heard it.
Yes, they did.
But I hope you, everybody heard it. So what
they did, and I'll say it again. Nigger, nigger, nigger is what you
so
hear on HB.
It,
why don't you let me finish a sentence?
Okay.
Don't take things out of context. Don't NAACP me. Leave them in context.
I know what it means, and I know it came from a white person. And I know the white person made
All right.
it bad.
Thank you very much. Can't have this argument. If you're that hypersensitive about color and don't have a sense of humor, don't marry out of your race.
To weigh in on this story, we've called Michael Harrison. He's publisher of Talkers Magazine Online. We've also called St. Petersburg Times media critic Eric Dagans and Washington Post columnist Mark Fisher, who covers radio news as well as other responsibilities at the paper. Welcome to you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Can I start with Michael? Can you just tell us how big of a star is Laura Schlesinger in the world of talk radio? How big of a figure is she?
She's huge. In terms of being a star, it's evidenced by the fact that her getting into this trouble is national news covered by all the major networks, radio and newspapers. So she's a huge star. She's probably the biggest female talk radio star of all time, one of the most important broadcasters of all time, and very much at the peak of her career, which spans about 32 years. So we're talking about, within radio, a very, very significant player.
Has she ever been criticized for language before?
She's been criticized for her messages. She's never been criticized for language, per se. And I do think that the analysis of language is very much at the heart of the aftermath of this issue. But no, she's not a shock jock from the standpoint that she says words that are dirty or gets in trouble with the FCC or loses licenses for people. She's gotten in trouble for her messages, which can be, I guess, for lack of a better term, politically incorrect.
In her interview with Larry King and in other, she suggested that she was worried that her sponsors might be attacked. And it is true that there are organizations that were suggesting that her sponsors should reconsider their support for her program. Was there any evidence of that?
Oh, sure. That's an ongoing situation in talk radio. One of the things that talk radio deals with is sponsor boycotts, no-buy lists, the fact that some agencies and some companies don't want to be associated with programs that are controversial because they don't want their products to be disliked by segments of the population that identify it with the host or the nature of the show, because that's also one of talk radio's strengths, is that the programs are very identified with the following and the loyalty or disloyalty people have for the hosts.
And do you buy her argument that she's quitting because she doesn't want her sponsors to be attacked, or she's just not up for the fight, as it were? Do you think that that's true?
I think she's not up for the fight. I think that she's quitting because she's stressed out over the whole thing. Laura Schlesinger is an interesting character in as much as she is the combination of strength and fragility all in one package. I described her like Judy Garland in an LA Times interview that's running out there right now. You never know if she's going to hit that note. If she hits the note, it'll be great and she's a superstar. If she doesn't hit the note, she could have a meltdown right there on the stage. She is a unique, complex woman who in some ways suffers from I've got to be the smartest girl in class syndrome. And as a result, that's part of what made her successful, is that you're dealing with somebody that's an original. And she gets herself in trouble all the time. well, not all the time, but many times, and that's part of her allure. But I personally think, knowing her somewhat, I'm not a personal friend, but I know her, I think she loves radio, and I think she's just terribly, no matter what she says, terribly distraught about this. And when a few months go by, she'll reconsider, and I'm not so sure she's going to be leaving after all. But right now, she's totally, absolutely, sincerely getting out of it because I don't think she could take it anymore, at least at this moment.
Mark Fisher, what do you think about this whole episode, and what do you think it says about talk radio? Because the pattern often has been that someone offends. You heard Michael say that she's not a shock jock per se, but that someone offends, makes offensive comments, and then that person is fired and then turns up somewhere else. It is unusual that a person quits because of a controversy, because controversy is what this form of radio thrives on. What's your take on this?
Right, and Michael is certainly right that Laura Schlesinger is a very brittle, defensive person, and she always has been. I remember one time writing about the fact that she's not a doctor in the sense that her listeners probably think she is. She has no doctorate in therapy of any kind. She is, as you mentioned at the top of the show, a physiologist, which has nothing whatsoever to do with therapy. So, and she reacted with threats of lawsuits and so on. So she has a long history of being extremely sensitive, which is kind of ironic, given that she's a professional provocateur. She's not a shock jock, and Michael is exactly right about that, but she is a provocateur, and you have to be a successful talk show host. Even, I mean, Michelle, your job is to be provocative, but in a thoughtful, measured way. Laura Schlesinger's job is to be provocative, to reach a specific audience of women who feel sort of left out in society and who listen to conservative talk radio, which is very unusual. It's a very male audience for the Rush Limbaughs of the world. And what the service that Laura Schlesinger's always provided to those radio stations that air her show is that she brings in a female audience in a way that most of the political talk shows don't. And so politics is not her thing. She's mainly about offering advice on family and sexual issues and that sort of thing in a very conservative, traditional way. Well, here she is opining about race. It's something she's talked about from time to time. She's gotten in trouble about it before. But it's not talking about President Obama is just not what the normal content of her show. You know, I think the real problem here is the way we've become so oversensitized as a society that General Motors and Motel 6 feel obliged to drop her at the mere mention of the N-word. You know, her point of view, while conservative, is really no different from that of, say, Al Sharpton, who says, why shouldn't blacks and whites be held to the same standard? And so, you know, he's saying black comics should not be saying this word out there on HBO all the time, which was essentially Laura Schlesinger's point.
Well, I'm interested to hear you use the word oversensitive. So isn't that exactly what this controversy is about? Sort of one person's oversensitive is another person's another person's entirely appropriate response to inappropriate behavior. You know what I mean? That's kind of what this controversy is. Eric, can we bring you into this? You wrote a column about this saying that, well, why don't you tell us what you said?
Well, I said, number one, that Laura Schlesinger's contention that her First Amendment rights were being violated was off the mark. You don't have a First Amendment right to a job on the radio, as much as she may think that she does. But I also want to talk about some of the things that some of the other folks have said before me. First, I'll say that Dr. Laura Schlesinger is not at the pinnacle of her career right now. She was at the pinnacle of her career around 2000, around 1999. She was on a lot of radio stations. She developed a syndicated TV show that flopped. And what happened was after 9/11, talk radio turned much more sharply towards political subjects and became much more male. And a lot of stations dropped Laura Schlesinger, including the station here in Tampa. She airs in a much smaller market in Sarasota, Florida now, and in favor of Glenn Beck. And I think some people in talk radio suspect that Dr. Laura used this controversy as an excuse to walk away from a show that was fading in popularity anyway and wasn't fitting in with the Sean Hannity's, Rush Limbaugh's, Bill O'Reilly's of the talk radio universe. You know, I'll also say, saying that people are oversensitive to a talk radio host using a profanity 11 times, I mean, if she had said the F word 11 times, that station could have been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. And for a lot of people, the N word is as offensive as that word. So, you know, I'm not sure I buy this idea that people are being oversensitive. at a host that slung that word. And the last thing I'll say is that my problem with Laura Schlesinger is that she had a raft of prejudices about how black people feel about the use of the N-word, how black people feel about white people being sensitive to racism and prejudice, and she didn't allow her caller to really say anything. The caller got a couple of sentences out about her situation, and then all of a sudden Dr. Laura unloaded, you know, this raft of her own preconceived notions about this black caller on her. And that to me is sort of it epitomizes prejudice and racism. This is the very stuff that we've been resisting for 40 years in media and society, and she brought it all up in one ugly exchange. And I think people who are unwilling to discuss that and consider that are really missing the point.
I want to get Michael's response to your statement that, in fact, her show was on the downside, as it were. But before I do, I just want to mention, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking with Eric Dagans, St. Petersburg Times media critic. We're here with Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine Online, and Washington Post columnist Mark Fisher, who covers radio, among other responsibilities at the paper. And we're talking about the inflammatory remarks by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, the radio host, and her decision that she says to quit the program after the controversy that followed. Michael, your response to Eric's comment that, in fact, he thinks that her program is actually on the downswing, and that her particular form of advice giving and seems to have lost a bit of luster in the current media environment.
It all depends on how you measure it. I mean, these are arguable points. I mean, she's in the top five of the current scene, and she's been doing it for 32 years. A lot of hosts lost their positions and lost their jobs after 9/11, when there was a rush toward all news talk, all politics, all the time. But she has since regained most of them. And longevity comes into account when you're talking about how big people are. It's like saying the New York Yankees have lost their luster when the Tampa Bay Rays suddenly are number one and they're number two for a few weeks. These are minor fluctuations. She's a big-time host. I don't want to get into splitting
hairs.
Sure,
no, I got you. I just wanted to just get your take on that. Sure.
There's a point. He makes a good point. I make a good point. It really takes us off target. She's
sure.
A big-time talk show host, and whether she's bigger than she was in 2000 or not is irrelevant, because I do not believe the point that he made, which is an interesting point, and it's possible, but I do not believe that she's using this as an excuse to get out of a show that's fading, when in fact most of talk radio would love to have her level of failure.
I gotcha.
I would say, too, the notion that somebody would walk away from a 30-year career in radio because of a week-long controversy, I think, strains credulity. I do think there's more to this story, and I do think that if you look at her lists of affiliates in a lot of places, she's airing in smaller markets, and she is certainly not the star she was in 2000.
Yeah, what about her? Mark Prussian makes an interesting point that she was kind of off topic, and it is interesting that she converted the conversation about this woman's particular issue and concern. And the issue, if people don't remember, is that this young woman called in. She says she's African-American, she's interracially married, and her husband and, more to the point, friends and neighbors of his come over and make comments that she does not like, and she was asking Dr. Laura's advice on how to address it. In fact, CNN was able to find her. And here, this is what she told CNN. Her name is Nita Hansen. Here's a little bit about what she said.
Mm-hmm. It's more than just the N-word. I mean, in that whole conversation, she says, I shouldn't marry outside my race. Dr. Laura acted as if I tried to set her up. And that's not what happened. I called for advice. I didn't try to set this woman up. You know, at the end of the tape, she's like, nice try. Like, what is that supposed to mean? So I don't think she's sincere in her apology. She hasn't apologized. She thinks it's okay to use the N-word, and it's not sincere.
And that, Mark, I was interested in your point. Do you think in part this was, and as Eric said, that she then, Dr. Laura then launches into this analysis, false analysis, as it happens, of why African-Americans voted for Obama, saying they only voted for him because he's black, I mean, which begs the question, I mean, did the white people vote for John McCain because he's white, that kind of thing? And there's plenty of evidence of African-Americans voting for white politicians. So her political analysis seems to be off the mark. I wonder, is it part of the issue here that she's off topic, that that's not her thing, and she's not effective in it.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, she's a little bit off topic, but the caller was exactly right. She was there just as a setup. That's the nature of commercial talk radio. The host doesn't really care what the caller has to say. They're just using that as the way to tee off on the five or six themes that they keep hitting over and over again, which is what makes the program a success. Dr. Laura talks about how people should always be in a state of marriage, and single parenting is really morally wrong, and although people have to be supported. She has, you know, five or six basic themes that she hits over and over again, and the purpose of the callers is to give her the tee off for those diatribes that she goes on, which is what makes her so popular.
So do you think she's coming back, Mark Fisher?
Yes, I think she'll be back on the radio. I mean, that's what she does, and it's really the only thing she's done with great success. She's had great success with her books, but that's solely because her listeners buy them. Uh-huh. She needs the radio show to be a success professionally, and she'll be back. This is a result of the sponsors essentially pushing her out, and this is really the central problem here. We have a society where we say that it's okay to disagree, and yet we muzzle people through this commercial system we have, where the sponsors have the say on who rises or falls, and everyone pretends to be surprised. This is Dr. Laura being Dr. Laura. She is a provocateur. That's why you see Sarah Palin and Howard Stern coming to her side,
okay,
because they're professional provocateurs too.
Okay.
Well, Michael, I would say,
Eric,
again,
final, though, we only have 20 seconds left. I have to give you the last word.
All I would say is that in society, I think we've come to understand that there are mechanisms of oppression and mechanisms of prejudice, and the media can be part of that. And one of the things we've tried to resist is radio shows and TV shows and movies that pass along prejudiced views of people and unfair stereotypes of people. And so that's why people like Dr. Laura get criticism when they indulge in that, when they traffic in that. And Don Imus got criticism. Howard Stern gets criticism. These people should not be immune from criticism just because they host a popular radio show.
And they have not been. And thank you so much, all of you, for your views on this. Eric Dagans is a media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. Mark Fisher is a columnist for the Washington Post and an editor there. And we were also joined by Michael Harrison, publisher of Talkers Magazine Online. I thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.